We are up to the Marshal. Okay? The Marshal, we've spoken about, we've touched upon him in the past few weeks. Definitely with his interactions and relationship, or lack thereof, or relationship, we'll call it a relationship.
Cousin.
Yeah. He calls him a relative. It's not clear how they're related. Okay? The Marshal and the Marshal. The Marshal was in the city of Ostro, and the Marshal was in Lublin. The Marshal was the biggest Rashiva. The Marshal was up there too. The Marshal was a little bit older. And
they were contemporaries?
The Marshal was a little bit older. He may have had a good 50 years on the Marshal. The Marshal was at the same time as Taz, Shach, which is already a full 50, 70 years later. The Marshal is much earlier. The Marshal was born, they don't know when he was born. There is conjecture or guesses that he was born 1510. 1510 is very, very early on the Achronim spectrum, right? So, the Ramah, he may have been older than the Ramah. I'm pretty sure he was. So, he was one of the biggest Rashi Yeshiva of his time. So now, if you think Poland, right? So we've mentioned this before. The father of the Polish Torah world was?
Polak.
Rabbi Yaakov Polak. Yeah? Kishmo Kenhu. He was Polish. And he was the father. And he made this new Mahalach Halima called Pilpul. And his Talmud was Avshalom Shachne, who was the father-in-law of the Ramah. And the Marshal was a Talmud of Avshalom Shachne and fucked the system. He actually despised Pilpul. And he forged a new Mahalach of, it's similar to what we do today, you know, 500 years later. So just to clarify, we mentioned a few weeks ago about their Mahalach Halim and what they used to do in the Marshal. He references how slow they used to go. Yeshiva, did you learn it? Okay. I had a feeling. So, this is the topic at hand. How slow do you go? Now, he writes that he spent 2 years. It was 2 years. Remember I said last time, 1 year? 2 years learning half of Yevamos. Okay, 2 years, half of Yevamos. This is Marshal. And he spent a full year, 365 or 355 days, learning two prakim of Ksubis. Now that's a feat. To be able to really, it sounds like they were learning like regular yeshivish mahalach of today. That they're going very, very slowly, ripping, breaking apart every detail. So this was not in line with Pilpul, because Pilpul was how many head spinning cheshbonos can you make from every havamina and maskana throughout Shas, and the makshan and the tarzan, they're speaking to each other in the seventh step, and this was what changed in the eighth step, and there it was mind blowing, and that's when everyone got to flaunt their knowledge, and it wasn't necessarily grounded on MS.
And this was in what century again?
The 16th century, the 1500s.
So this is before Hasidus.
Well before.
Well before Hasidus.
All the towns that Varsha, there wasn't a Chassid in sight. There was not a Chassid in sight for hundreds of years. And all these towns, right? Brisk, he was born in Brisk, they claim. Again, nothing is clear. Nothing is clear because, ironically, we know more about the Rishonim, who wrote more about themselves, than the Achreinim, who lived in this Tkufa. They didn't write them so much about their own personal lives. We don't know much more. When you get to like the 1700, it picks up, and the Chida wrote about himself plenty, and others, we know a lot more, and it was that much closer. But that Tkufa is very great. They claim he was born in Brisk. 350 years before the Beis Halevi was even on the scene. Yeah, so the whole Brisk dynasty, which is arguably, you know, a good majority of the Torah world that we know of today, there's a Soloveitchik everywhere in the world, right? In all circles. So that was not even, he was born well before that. So his name was Luria, or Shlema Luria. Anyone know any other Lurias? That result. So the Chida just writes, he was related. Very, okay, fair. The Radal. Yeah.
related also?
I believe so. Most lawyers are related. The Chida, all the Chida writes is that he was related. Okay, that was it. So now, where do we have? Where does he, what was he known for? And what was his personality like? So one thing that's for sure, that, you know, it's very hard to relate to. In today's day and age, living in 2022, is a very prevalent feeling of, you know, we have to be understanding, and we should be understanding of other people's, you know, choices and lifestyles. But beyond that, we can never speak out against anybody. I never knew this was a term. One of the lawyers in Shul recently said, that's not PC. I didn't know what PC is. Politically correct. That's not PC. So, again, today, we have to be PC.
There's a lot of things that are not PC.
What?
There's a lot of things. We're not PC.
Exactly. Referencing not being PC may not be PC. But the Marshal said exactly what he thought. He did not mince any words, and he attacked anyone who he felt was not in line, didn't toe the line with what he felt was MS. Now, to us, one can claim he was just a harsh personality, but chas melahaskir, to say such a thing, it's because he actually cared. You know, when people are laissez-faire, at a certain level, it's because they don't really care to the extent of, you know, lashing out. But whenever you hit that chord, people will lash out, wherever that chord might be. The Marshal's chord was, if it wasn't MS and it wasn't the proper way to learn, he told you about it, and he came after the Ramah because you learned too much philosophy, and he came after counterparts because you don't learn right, and you're just fumfering around trying to be fancy, you know, throwing out Gemaras here and there. So he definitely was very, very sharp, very, very outspoken, and it didn't come from just being difficult. It came from a passion of sticking up for what he felt was right. If you look in Yamshel Shleima in the Hakdama,
which,
you ever want to read?
Opus.
Yeah. If his magnum opus is Yamshel Shleima, Chachmas Shleima in the back, which on the bottom of the Marshal, he's in the middle between the Marshal and the Maharam. He totally doesn't get so much limelight. It was one of the biggest works.
Well, we know the Marshal learned everything he wrote.
Of course, right? The Marshal references what the Marshal writes. Everyone's referencing what the Marshal wrote, right? The Marshal was much later. Not much. A full two generations later. But his main, what he, so to say, got the most acclaim for was Yamshel Shleima. And the Hakdama to Yamshel Shleima, yeah, he definitely does not hold anything back. And he really states his opinions very, very clear. That's where you get one glimpse. And in Tshuva's Marshal, as well as in Tshuva's Marsha, you'll see them spar and go at each other. So that's definitely where you see it. So what else did he write? He wrote Chachma Shloimo. So now we, nowadays, we have Oiz V'Hadar, we have Art Scroll, we have Moznayim, we have Vilna, Vagshal, whatever printing press you like, and whatever, you know, the nuances. We're so spoiled. We have on the page Hagoy Sabach, right? Gilian Ashas, and everything is at our disposal. And then we have Hagoyis Vitziyunim, if you're losing Oiz V'Hadar, and they bring down, oh, in the Ksav Yad, we have this Girsa, that Girsa. They didn't have that. So you know how much every word makes a difference in Gemara. So if you have a different Girsa, or which some Achronim were supposedly at fault for doing, they would change Girsois. Doesn't make sense. It can't be the Gemara meant that. XX, change the Girsa. The Marshal didn't like it. So he went and set out to get nitty gritty. There was nothing fancy and nothing pomp about writing Chachma Shleima. It was getting down to what's the proper Girsa. Right? The things that are bothersome, and they're really getting into that. That's what the Marshal did, and it was indispensable, because every Achron who came after him, you know, is going to rely on the knowledge and the hagois of the Chachma Shleima as he went through Shas, proving which Girsois were correct. So that was one work, the Chachma Shleima. Another one is Yamshel Shleima. What was Yamshel Shleima? It was on Sugis. He wrote on Bava Kamma, he wrote on Chulin. He wrote on many Masechtas. And what was his MO? What was he coming to do? He was coming to learn properly, as per his opinion. Learn thoroughly, learn from the top to the bottom, explaining pshat, explaining what?
Til
psak halacha. And he then went out against the Rambam, and he was not very fond of the Shulchan Aruch either, because he felt it was the same disservice. Writing a Shulchan Aruch, when you compile a shorthand kitzer halachos, so yeah, if you learn the Beis Yosef, you're in a better standing. But just to open a Shulchan Aruch, that's a travesty, because then people will just blindly follow. And he felt that was a disservice, because you need to learn. Again, we're talking
it's
people...
It's very, very exclusionary.
You bet. Because if you can't learn, where does that leave you? Right? The Beis Yosef is servicing the masses. Not everyone in the masses were able to be in the Marshal's Yeshiva in Lublin. Yeah. So now you're thinking on a universal level, meaning many people gain tremendously, as we do today, from having the Shulchan Aruch. And many people at every step gain tremendously from having a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And many people in Lita gain tremendously from having a Chayadam, because now they actually can access normative halacha. But the elite, and rightfully so, they're trying to maintain a certain bar. They were very upset because you're literally dumbing down complicated sugyas as one-liners, and then this guy is going to try to compare and contrast to other cases off of one-liners. How could you do that? So yes, we should be going to the Rabbanim of every dar and Talmid HaChamim and checking with them, but the masses didn't necessarily do that, and that's why he felt it was a disservice. We got to keep going. So who were his Talmidim? The Marshal, arguably, of his generation, was the most influential Rebbe and Mechanech of the entire century. Anyone who was anyone learned in the Marshal's Yeshiva. Okay? In Lublin. Who were some of his Talmidim? There's a sefer quoted very often by the Mishneh Berurah. It's called the Matan Moshe. The Matan Moshe was, or Moshe Mess. Mem Suf. Like someone who passed on. So Moshe Mess was the Talmud of? Yeah. Moshe Mess was the Talmud of the Marshal. The Kliyakar, who took over after the Maral in Prague. He's much earlier than people necessarily think. The Oil Ephraim, who was the Kliyakar, the Ephraim Shlema Lunshitz from the city of Lunshitz, was the Talmud of the Marshal. Yeah? The Lavush, who's known as the Talmud of the Rama, spent his time learning under the Marshal. Yeah? Who else? The Sma. The Sma, Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, who wrote the Drisha and the Prisha, who we're going to get to in the coming weeks, very soon, because he's in the, 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line. We did the Ramah already. The Drisha, Prisha, Sma, who's the same person, Rabbi Yeshua Falk HaKoyin Katz. Falk was a first name, not a last name. Okay? He also learned by the Marshal, as well as Reb Chaim, the brother of the Maral, who wrote the Kuach Maim Chaim, which we've quoted, who also was not very fond. Sefer HaChaim, the Musar Sefer, which the Chidah writes on the entry of Sefer HaChaim. It said something happened in his life. He went through a certain hardship. No. The Chidah writes about Reb Chaim, who's the brother of the Maral, the oldest brother of the Maral. He wrote a Sefer HaChaim, which is a Musar Sefer, which is Agadata. And very sharp, you find these lines, these one-liners in the Chidah even, who writes that he went through a hardship or a certain nisayon in his life. Umeiroiv da'aga osak be'agada. Due to the heartache of the daiga of what he went through, and the same oisi is da'aga agoda, which again almost sounds condescending to a degree. Umeiroiv da'aga, meaning if he wouldn't have been in such da'aga, he would have just learned regular sugyas, right? It's such a like fascinating insight into how people viewed, and now we have a Sefer HaChaim because of it. So he also learned by the Marshal. Okay, this was all some of his talmidim. Now, just to put it in perspective, he died in 1574, so he lived 64 years, 1510 to 1574, and just to put it in perspective, when you hear certain names that are dropped, yeah, the Chumash Hadeshim, Rishon Achron, I loved it, great, Rishon Achron, exactly, that's what I wanted, thank you so much, come back next week. So, who was the Chumash Hadeshim? Who was the Maril? So again, by Ashkenazim and Sephardim, we're going to talk about it 1 week, there's different cutoffs. The Sephardim were considered to be Rishonim. The Sephardim were considered to be Rishonim later than the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim by the 1300s...
Did they say himself up for debate?
But the Maril is at the border. The Maril was in the 1300s. And he's at the border, and the Beis Yosef in 1492 is at the border. There's a big discrepancy. So there's a lot of conjecture and a lot of theories, but there's definitely something to talk about and something to address. Because the Ashkenazim, the cutoff is much sooner. But the Chumash Hadeshim was one of the, again, at the early 1400s. So his counterparts were Sfardi Rishonim, and he's in that quasi. So who was the Marshal's, why am I saying this? Who was the Marshal's father-in-law? Reb Kleinemus Kalman. Okay? No surname, they didn't have surnames back then, no last name. Who was Reb Kleinemus Kalman? So he quotes in the Shuva from the Marshal, I saw quoted, he quotes in the Shuva from the Marshal that I heard from my father-in-law, Reb Kleinemus Kalman, who was a Talmud of Reb Daniel, who was the son-in-law of the Chumash Hadeshim. So when you see the Beis Yosef quoting the Chumash Hadeshim, right, left, and center, as does the Rama, right? We just went three generations from the Chumash Hadeshim to the Marshal. Marshal was really a counterpart of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef, he and the Beis Yosef were 22 years apart. It gives you just perspective. The Marshal was no slouch. He definitely had the biggest yeshiva and the most talmidim that literally were the biggest Torah leaders of the generation. And he was very, very anti the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch, and he was, so to say, deserving of having that opinion, because he was right in there in the same timeline, and he had the quite a good Mesorah right into the leaders of the Ashkenazi world. And that was the Marshal. What other Sfarim do we have of his? There's a Sefer called Yiriyah Shleima is his Pirush on Rashi. And one more thing, just as a great tool to know, when you get to Yeridea, Amir Tashem will learn Yeridea one day here in the Koil. Say Amen. Okay, Amen. So, we have a lot to do in Hilchos Shabbos first, but we'll get there. So, in Yeridea, they quote the Marshal. The Shach and the Taz are always quoting the Marshal. He's always Machmir, and for some reason, the Halachas rarely like the Marshal. Even though he was one of the biggest poskim and Torah personalities of his time, we never go like the Marshal. He's always machmir generally, and rarely go like him. But they quote two different Marshals. Marshal in Hagois, this is all they say, Marshal in Hagois, or Marshal in the Masechta. Who are these two Marshals? The Marshal wrote a Pirush, his Talmidim wrote a Pirush on the Shari Dura, which is the quintessential Sefer. Rabbi Yitzchak Midura, who was a friend of the Rush, one of the Rishonim, wrote a Sefer in Issa Heter called Shari Dura, Rabbi Yitzchak Midura. The Talmidim wrote down the Marshal's Pshatim and Pirushim on the Shari Dura. So that's called, it has different names. So that's the Marshal in Hagois, whereas the Marshal in Sefer was the Yamshel Shleim. So this was another one of his works. So you want to know which one has more clout? Generally, Yamsha Shlomo, which is penned by him personally, has a lot more clout, because the other one is written by Talmidim. And as we know, broken telephone applies everywhere, in every circle. And when you have Talmidim going and quoting things, Mipi Hashmua, that the Rebbe didn't write himself, you're already going to take it with a grain of salt. But that was the Marshal, definitely a leader of his time, who was not afraid to say exactly what he held, because he cared. Until next time, have a wonderful week.